Welcome to Christianity Today Audio.
In 2007, Tony Dungy, the coach of the Indianapolis Colts, wrote a bestseller called Quiet Strength. Tyndale House has just published another volume by Coach Dungy. It's called Uncommon. Through the magic of technology, I was able to catch up with Coach Dungy, who's in Tampa for the Super Bowl. Here's our interview. I'm Stan Guthrie, Managing Editor, Special Projects.
First question, what is an uncommon man?
Well, I think we tend to follow the crowd, our nature in society, and I think the uncommon person who is the person who has other things in mind, has different dreams, different desires, and really fights to keep that in mind and not go with the flow of the crowd.
With the economic crisis, the high-profile NFL cases such as Michael Vick and other examples in our culture, it seems that we're facing a lack of character formation in the society. Why do you think that is?
I think it really stems from the breakdown in the family structure. We've got so many young men, especially, who are growing up without their dads, and I just think of all the things that I learned from my father, and that's not being passed on. So there's a void there, and some way we've got to fill that. We've got to do a better job mentoring. We've got to do a better job helping young people see what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. And then somehow we've got to put that family structure back together. We've got to have people understand how important it is for kids to be nurtured by their mom and dad and to get that great role modeling when they're young.
As you noted in the book, the problem is not related to one class or one race. What do you think are the societal factors that are just tearing at the parent-child relationship?
You know, I think it is a lot of things. It's chasing after material success so that even when it is a two-parent home, maybe mom and dad are not necessarily there nurturing the kids because we're more concerned about careers. In some cases, it's the fact that we don't see God's view of marriage as two people for life. We don't see that anymore, and we've got much more, hey, if it doesn't work out or we hit a little bump in the road, let's split up and move on with our lives so we don't have instability. We definitely don't have the stigma anymore on children out of wedlock, so that many times the family never even got started. And I think all of those things that we're seeing really lead to us not valuing the family as much as we did when I was growing up.
So what do you attribute your own success to in this area?
I was very, very blessed and fortunate. Both of my parents, my parents stayed married until my mom died. They were both teachers. They felt that showing us the right way as well as showing their students the right way to go was important. A lot of extended family around because of that. My mom and dad both came from big families, so we had aunts and uncles and cousins that we grew up with and understood that family was important and the values that my parents had. Being raised in a Christian home where it wasn't necessarily what type of job you're going to have, what type of career, how much money you're going to make, what type of car would you end up driving. Those weren't the things that were talked about to me. It was more of what are you going to do, what type of person are you going to be, what type of contribution are you going to make, how can you make your community, your neighborhood, your block a better place.
Right.
And I got that very, very early in life, and that building block to me is so important.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of what comedian Bill Cosby has been saying over the years, specifically about the black community, and I'm reminded of it as you talk about that, because my understanding is that in most black households, there are not two parents together. There's a lot of what used to be legitimacy, single parent households, and that kind of thing. Have you spoken with people like Bill Cosby, specifically addressing some problems in the African American communities?
I haven't spoken to him specifically about that, but it's something that we see, and it's on the rise everywhere. And it's not just, I don't think it can be broken down rich, poor, black, white. I think we just have a general direction in this country towards that, away from families. And that's to me, that's scary. We've got to, you know, we see the effects of it all the time, and you do see the effects in the African-American community. And it's something that we've got to try to reverse. I don't think it has an economic basis. I don't think it has a racial basis. We've got to be very careful as a country that we don't let ourselves disintegrate because of this breakdown in the family.
Why do you think young men, and you know, if you also want to say so, young women being swept along by the culture in this regard?
To me, that's what the common thing is right now. We're seeing it evolve. Everybody's kind of saying that's okay. It's a different lifestyle now. And where maybe a generation ago, it was looked at as being different or strange. And now we've accepted it. It's becoming accepted. And again, we just have to be careful. But it's being promoted in our media every day, in movies and television shows. Young kids think that that's the norm. And, you know, some way, somehow, we've got to get the message across to them that you don't have to follow the norm. You can choose to be different.
Do you think that the NFL has a role to play in supporting healthy family choices, that kind of thing?
I think we very much do. I used to talk to, I'm out of it now for 2 weeks retired, but I talk to our players all the time about the fact that so many people are looking at them. I had boys who grew up, you know, with NFL players. They watched everything they did. They mimicked them. They were their heroes. So, whether you think it or not, you're leading a generation of young boys, and you can lead in a positive direction, or you can lead in a negative direction. And so many of our players did understand that. They were trying to provide the good role modeling. They were going back to high schools and mentoring and tutoring and things like that. And I think that's important. But definitely the image that our athletes and entertainers put out there, that is what's being followed by this next generation, no question.
Do you think the NFL lifestyle, if there is such a thing, creates pressure on the players to not respect their families and have stable family lives?
I don't think that it's any different than a lot of other lifestyles. I think what's happened is our players don't come in with a great deal of training in that area. They're 21, 22 years old. They're making way more money than most people would expect to make. They have a chance to do things that most people only dream about doing. And so there are enticements to get away from that stable family structure. And so many of them haven't really seen it. It's not like they've seen it modeled and all of a sudden they've got to make a decision now what to do. Many of them have never seen that stable family life modeled for them, so it's totally foreign. And that's what I see as the critical point.
Given that seemingly in the society there are a few positive role models for young men, how do you think the recent election of Barack Obama might affect young men who are tempted to go along with the crowd?
Well, I think, especially for African-American youth, I think it's going to be fantastic because all of a sudden they do have a role model of someone who was was different, who set his goals differently. He went to Harvard. He went into the political arena. He you know, was a community activist. He did things away from the norm and was successful. And now he is going to be seen by all these young people in the country, and they say, you know what? Maybe it's not the president, but I can do whatever I set my mind out to do, and I can have goals maybe a little higher than I would have thought. And I think it's going to be extremely positive to for a lot of our country, not just African Americans, but definitely for the African American community.
Sure. In your book, you talk about platforms of influence. And you just mentioned, obviously, President Obama's platform. What about your platform? I mean, you're leaving the NFL, which is certainly one of the most popular institutions in the society. How is that going to work, that you can still kind of get the message out?
Well, I wrestled with that for a long time, and frankly, that's what kept me in probably these last 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. My wife and I would pray about what I wanted to do. If I had my choice, it would be a lot more one-on-one, a lot of more hands-on mentoring. And frankly, my job just took way too much time for me to, once I got past my work and my family, I didn't have enough time to do that. So that was something that I wrestled with, because I did realize the platform that I had as a head football coach in the NFL, the visibility that I had, the ability to talk to large numbers of people at one time, all of that, I think was God showing me favor and putting me in that position. So I wanted to use that, maximize that, but I think I can do it in different ways, and I have more time now to devote to those kinds of efforts, probably not the visibility and the platform, but I think the Lord's just taking me in a different direction.
But it is a trade-off. You'll have more time, but less visibility, it sounds like.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's it'll be a different type of work now, and probably more one-on-one, more hands-on. But certainly not the mass or ability to talk to a lot of people that I had as a head coach.
So why specifically did you retire now?
I felt like it was time that I needed to be at home more with my family and my kids growing up, and I did have this urge to work to improve my community in a different way, and I've seen some people with some hands-on ministries that I wanted to get more involved in.
Anything in particular?
There are two that I'm really involved in that I know I'll be involved more, and that's in Tampa. There's a organization called Family First that I work with that has an arm called All Pro Dads, kind of a help group for fathers to help them connect better with their kids. Great website and resources for men. I'm going to be more involved with that. There's a prison outreach ministry called Abe Brown Ministries, also located out of Tampa, that does prison visitations and helps with reentry of offenders back into the community. I've done some things with them and look to get more involved. When I first started going into the prisons with him, I felt like I was going to see these hardened, tough, rough criminals, and what I found was a lot of 19 and 20-year-old boys in there that were just needed some direction and some guidance. And it's been really rewarding. So I'm looking forward to being more involved with that. I'm on a couple of programs in Indianapolis with prison reentry and looking to help the graduation rates and stay in school type programs. But that's what I'm looking to do. And I don't know exactly where the Lord's going to lead and you know how much public speaking I'm going to do and that kind of thing, but really looking to get some hands-on mentoring.
I know you're down in Tampa now. Do you miss the NFL scene, or do you feel a sense of relief right now?
Well, I do miss it. I miss the players and the meetings and being involved with them on a daily basis and all the great relationships that you have. But I'm sorting out now these different opportunities, and I realize that there are things that can be done away from the NFL that I would have never been able to take advantage of. I went to the inauguration last week. Would have never done that if I was working, and it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I'm so glad I went, and that just made me realize that there's a lot of great stuff out here that, you know, that from maybe August through January that I wasn't able to get involved in, and I'll have the opportunity to pick and choose some of those things now.
I'm sure your wife probably likes having you around once in a while.
She does, and I've, you know, these last 2 weeks taking the kids to school and doing homework with them and throwing balls with my oldest son and things that, you know, that all dads want to do. I certainly have a lot more time to do that now, but I didn't plan to retire just to not do anything. I'm going to pick these ministries pretty carefully, pray about it, and see, you know, what's the best way to maximize the time that I have now.
Your book talks about a lot of different virtues, a lot of different character qualities that we need to build into our lives. I'd like your thoughts on the relationship between your faith and the virtues that you talk about.
Well, virtues are great to have, and, you know, I think we all want to be good citizens and do the right thing. But to me, without faith being at the core, it still can be pretty hollow, but faith and understanding that you're put on this earth by God for a reason, that you want to do things that are going to have lasting impact. And if you don't have faith, I don't know where that comes from. So, to me, my belief in God, my views as a Christian really shape all of my actions and all of my thoughts.
And could you just briefly, if you don't mind, just share what your beliefs as a Christian are, how you came to faith in Christ?
Yeah, I was really fortunate. My grandfather was a minister. Two of my uncles were ministers, and my mom actually taught Sunday school, so she would practice a lot of her lessons on us. And I learned early on that, you know, Christ came to pay the penalty for our sins and wanted us to go to heaven, and that was through belief in him. And so intellectually I learned that as a kid, but really growing up and getting involved in school and sports, I was like a lot of boys where that ended up taking first place in my life. And it wasn't until I was probably 20 years old and I got involved with the teen Bible study when I was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, that I began to understand that being a Christian was more than just accepting that fact so that you could go to heaven. Being a Christian meant following Christ, putting those principles first in your life, really devoting yourself to doing what Christ would do and being led by him on a daily basis. And that's where I really started developing my beliefs in how you do things, how I would coach, how I would raise my family, those kind of things.
Is there anything that you'd care to add that I didn't ask you about?
No. I think we hit on the fact, the real impetus behind the book. When I wrote the first book, Quiet Strength, it was really basically just kind of telling my story biographically.
Sure.
And I got so many letters from young people, I was really surprised because I thought it would be more of an adult-read book. But I got so many letters from young people saying, hey, I went through this, I quit my high school team too, and I was, you know, glad to see how you handled it, that helped me. And I was taken back by that, and I thought, if this many kids got their hands on this book, wouldn't it be nice to give them some advice, you know, not just talk about my story, but to give them some advice on things that could really help them. So that's what I'm hoping happens with this book.
Are you planning a third book?
You know, I didn't plan either one of the first two, so I don't know. My mom was an English teacher. She would be very proud. She'd be shocked to know that I've written two books, even. So I think I'm ahead of the curve, but you never know. It's been this process has been wonderful. I've enjoyed it because it was more this time around thinking about what I wanted to say, what was the best way to get the message across, and really developing the book. And it was a fun process. So we'll see what happens with this one, how it's received, and you never know.
Coach Dungy, thanks very much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Stan. It's been great being with you.
To get three free trial issues of Christianity Today magazine, go to christianitytoday.com/CT.